Reactive training systems.
Welcome back to the RTS podcast. I'm Mike Tashir, and today Coach Mel and I will be talking with Kasim Sand Senimal. Kasim Sand, or as we call him, Oper, is the current 66 kilo world champion. And at the time of this recording, we are deep in prep, almost completed with prep for Sheffield. In fact, we're about 2 weeks and a little bit, 2 weeks and a couple days out from the Sheffield Championship. So we're very much looking forward to that. And we thought this would be a great time to sit down, catch up with Oper, talk about how training is, talk about how his approach is decidedly different from a lot of other people in powerlifting right now, but also talk about Sheffield, how he's thinking about this experience in his own mind. How does the difficulty of competition affect or not affect him? And quite a bit more. So this is a really fun one for us. It's always fun to catch up with Oper. He's really chill and fun to hang out with and talk with, as you'll soon hear. So without any further delay, I want to get right into our conversation.
I actually want to know, Oper, I know this is going to, we're going to, but because it's not listed here, is basically you had a friend say, hey, you should try powerlifting. And you were like, okay. And then you found Mike Tashir. And I actually want to know how that happened, because you think you only started lifting since 2017, powerlifting?
Yeah, I started to know like RTS since I went to Peter's seminar or something. And then like he talked about the RTS too, and also the strategy. And then I find out, that's interesting. And I'm watch all, like, actually, I think I watch all the videos in the RTS YouTube. Back in the day, it's not like proper videos. It's just my talking. And then if someone not really interested in policing, I think they will pass it.
Yeah, 100%. It's not, the YouTube infotainment production value. Like you're there because you actually want to hear something powerlifting related.
Yeah, because you just like film yourself and then just talk a bunch of stuff about the palace and just no editing, just upload it straight away. Yes. But
I gotta say, like, if I ever go back to YouTube, that's gonna be how it is.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. It's like, production value aside, you're here because you want to learn. And here is some information. And if you're going to be present and want the information, you're going to be with me on this journey of me just telling you it without a transition or flashy graphics.
Yeah. But actually, it's pretty useful because he answered like a lot of my questions. Because that's a lot of videos. Yes.
But then you did it yourself for a long time, right? Like you were self-coached for a long time and you were competing at a high level, just being a self-coached athlete.
Yes, because I cannot afford the coaching fees.
Yeah. I get that. And I also think that self-coaching is kind of cool in some ways. So
yeah, but looking at you is much better, I think.
I'm here, so you kind of have to say that. You came into our coaching arrangement with a lot of prior knowledge and experience from, what you'd seen yourself. So we were able to pretty much hit the ground running. Some people ends up being kind of a lengthy experimenting stage in the beginning. But in your case, it wasn't really. In your case, you kind of got derailed a couple times with just what seems like bad luck, whether it be food poisoning or something like that, what can you do about that? Like, sometimes this stuff happens, and if it happens on the wrong week, if you're prep for the world championship or something, then
you just because of the last whole year, it's happened many times. Like in my life, I never have like faced that kind of situation. I have like a lot of food poisoning, and then
I was gonna say I've been seeing your Instagram. It's like, oh, Oper has food poisoning.
So like it's weird. Just only like last year, like usually I'm not like my stomach like really strong. I can eat a lot of fermented beef and maybe fridge and fine. But yeah, right now it's like getting weaker. Maybe I'm older.
Classic, classic one. But then last year at the World Championship, your streak of bad luck ran out, and you're able to come into that competition prepared in a way that, is more on the level of what you have been expecting for quite some time, And I mean, to kind of remind everybody how that went, the 66 kilo class ended up with a three-way tie for podium. Everyone, top three placements totaled 707.5 kilos, and the final placement was determined by body weight. And even then, like, I think, forget what exactly Joe Jordan totaled, but he was came in fourth place, and he was not
No, I
far off of
think
that either.
692,
But
697.5, because my second leg is
that
was
sounds right.
695.
I do recall that you were in a position where if you made your third pole, then you were a gold medalist, first
Oh,
place.
no, off the
If you
podium.
missed your third pole, then you're off the podium entirely. So a lot of pressure going into that third pole. What is that like? We haven't really, I mean, it's been quite a while ago now, but we haven't really had a chance to do a podcast or this kind of thing. So do you What was it like for you as you approached the bar on that third
Not to
deadlift?
mention the lead up. You had missed your first one for grip and had to retake the second one.
It's just the baby powder because I grip in the like in between, not on the knurling, on the sharp knurling. And then like if someone pull conventional before, so it's my have some baby powders and it just slip out of my hand. But I think it's still fine. So yeah, but I need to retake it anyways, to be sure. Yeah, but at that time I actually I'm not thinking about anything. I just like ask Peter, just like put the number whatever that like just enough to win. That's it. So like I actually after my second deadlift I told him that I'm gonna do like 308 because I feel like I can do 308 and like and then I'm gonna do 308 and but Peter said like okay just sit down and then I make a calculation and then okay fine.
And then whatever is needed is the right weight for the day. So this highlights something for me in just kind of knowing you and listening to you on other interviews and whatnot. You have like such a laid back style. You take the sport seriously, but you don't take yourself seriously. Like you're not like some of the other champions will be. Very, what's the word I'm looking for? Almost melodramatic. They take themselves very seriously and have a certain lens through which they view their competition and things like that. I find that you try to keep things light. Do you do that intentionally? That's just a personality difference that you've got. Does that, how do you do that? How do you manage that?
I don't know. Maybe it's just my personality. Yes, my personal. So, yes. Yeah, I cannot be anyone.
No, I mean that fair enough. I mean, sometimes it's just that simple, but I think it's good one way or another. Like, I think it's good to kind of still see yourself as a person, like trying to do well at the sport and progress as far as you can, but also, hey, you're a person and sometimes things break your way, sometimes they don't, and it can't always be, I don't know, an action movie,
I think it's also just cool to see that you take so much joy in the sport and lifting is fun. The crew that you lift with is fun. the environment you lived in is fun, all of it. Like, powerlifting is a hobby sport. We do this because we enjoy it, because it brings us gratitude and joy, and we get to better ourselves. And I think that looking at different lifters and their attitude towards that, it seems like there's a wide spectrum of it, the most serious thing, or it's the thing that I do because I love it.
Yeah, I think it came from my experience, because in 2022, I think after I hit the world record at Asian Championship, I feel like that's too much pressure, and I'm not really enjoy powerlifting that much as I used to, like, yeah, when I started. And yes, and then this year I realized that just enjoy and have fun. And then, yeah, I talked to myself that, yeah, I enjoy to do this a lot. Why I have to stress about it?
That's a good point, you know, that you had seen that success and that has an opportunity to shift your mindset. There's preparation for a competition like Sheffield. Like, it's such a high visibility competition. Do you feel any of that as you're training and getting ready for it?
Actually, quite similar to a world championship. Not really push. Like, I mean, my mentally, I just feel like, okay, quite chill in my training. Yeah. I still have fun during my training, my prep, like wearing funny stuff.
I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that as well, Mel. That's something that I've seen, you know, just from watching your training, and especially like the stuff that gets put up on IG. It looks like it's just a fun place to train, a fun group of people to train with, and that counts for a lot. I mean, you spend a lot of time doing this.
Yeah.
So it may as well be fun.
Yeah, right.
There was a sport coach that I listened to years ago who was talking about, you know, preparing for sports, and that, you know, it takes a lot of work to reach the highest levels of anything, really. You know, you've got to put in a lot of time, and at some point it just becomes work, you know. And he was kind of emphasizing the importance of fun. And he said, think about like a little kid, you know, and how little kids will go out and run and play and just be all over the place, super active while they're having fun. But if you make it work, like, hey, I need you to pick up all this wood and then move it over to this other place, you know, it's just work. Then they drag their feet and they're sad and they don't, you know, it takes forever. Clean up the toys in your room. You know, we have no energy for this, you know. And I thought, man, that struck me as really true. And like, why would it be different for adults, you know, other than you just have a little bit more self-control, but the impulse is still the same, mm-hmm. you know? How much better would it be if it was just fun to do? So definitely a proponent of fun and training.
In that environment, are you the only one that trains powerlifting specifically, or do you have a crew of powerlifters that
in the gym that I went to, it's like the whole association is there. I mean, yeah, like people, like, yeah, we do have not only powerlifting, we also have Olympic weightlifting, high rocks and stuff like that. Yeah, but like people all together to train powerlifting, which is nice.
And it's really cool. First world champion from Thailand, and you have kind of that crew to hype you up as being the first world champion from Thailand.
Actually, like, they just make fun of me.
Well, that's a good crew. Have you noticed, has that changed anything in Thailand? Like, has powerlifting become any different or anything now that, you know, there's world champion from there?
Yeah, I think it's growing. Because I saw a lot of new faces and like, especially the younger generations, they start to do powerlifting since maybe like some of them like 14, 15, and then they some of them like take it so serious seriously. They think like they will go like become world champions. So, like some kind of like that. And yeah, which is nice to see like kids doing police things, because
Yeah.
like, they are the future anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know, go nuts while you can, but then once it starts to wear off, then you gotta find a group of people that's fun to train with. Mel, you're really good at that as well, by the way. Me, I'm the one that trains alone in my garage, so
you met the cat. The cat could be your friend.
My kids come out and yell strange things at me while I'm lifting.
You know,
so
I had someone quote the potato phrase to me at the community center. They saw the RTS shirt, pointed it, and said, "Potato."
It's a potato. Yeah, it's a potato. Yeah. I need to resurrect that video. Yeah, that was fun.
But have they, since you're preparing for Sheffield, has like the crew changed their attitude, or are they still making fun of you right up until the date you're going to fly out?
I think they try to make me safe, because they usually no one will take care of me like seriously. Usually like we play many of stuff like a part of the police thing, and then we like a kid sometimes do this